Web.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Duran.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger, the man accused of trying to assassinate former President Trump on his golf course now faces two weapons charges. ABC's Catherine Folders in West Palm Beach, Florida.
What we're learning, at least from this complaint that was unsealed, is that Ruth was in the area of this golf course for 12 hours before this attempted assassination. That was from 1:59 a.m. until approximately 1:31 p.m. And at 1:31 p.m., they did then see a barrel of a gun, and that's when the suspect was engaged. He fled. And then, of course, he was later stopped on the highway.
Suspect Ryan Ruth did not enter a plea when he appeared in court today. Police on Long Island say Mr. Trump's rally at the Nassau County Coliseum is still on for Wednesday, and that they will use every available resource to protect the area and the former president. TikTok and the government in court, it could end with the social media platform banned in the U.S. The Dow up 200 points, heading for the close. This is ABC News. The Federal Trade Commission and Washington State are trying to block a $24 billion grocery chain merger.
As part of a proposed merger between Albertsons and Kroger, the companies would sell off 124 of their grocery stores in the state of Washington. The attorney general there says the proposed buyer has little experience running stores, and it's reminded of when Albertsons bought Safeway a decade ago, and the third-party buyer closed 127 stores within 6 months. He's asking the entire deal to be blocked, but Albertsons and Kroger say the merger would lower grocery prices and preserve competition. Ryan Clark, ABC News.
Investigators in Suffolk County, New York, are asking for the public's help in identifying one of the bodies found on Gilgo Beach in 2011. Prosecutors have released a sketch of an unidentified South Asian man who's suspected of being a sex worker. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius, or two half geniuses, and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Again, scent bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard his ear said, "Maracas, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads. Way fresher than detergent alone.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger, the man accused of trying to assassinate former President Trump on his golf course now faces two weapons charges. ABC's Catherine Folders in West Palm Beach, Florida.
What we're learning, at least from this complaint that was unsealed, is that Ruth was in the area of this golf course for 12 hours before this attempted assassination. That was from 1:59 a.m. until approximately 1:31 p.m. And at 1:31 p.m., they did then see a barrel of a gun, and that's when the suspect was engaged. He fled. head. And then, of course, he was later stopped on the highway.
Suspect Ryan Ruth did not enter a plea when he appeared in court today. Police on Long Island say Mr. Trump's rally at the Nassau County Coliseum is still on for Wednesday, and that they will use every available resource to protect the area and the former president. TikTok and the government in court, it could end with the social media platform banned in the U.S. The Dow up 200 points heading for the close. This is ABC News. The Federal Trade Commission and Washington State are trying to block a $24 billion grocery chain merger.
As part of a proposed merger between Albertsons and Kroger, the companies would sell off 124 of their grocery stores in the state of Washington. The attorney general there says the proposed buyer has little experience running stores, and it's reminded of when Albertsons bought Safeway a decade ago, and the third-party buyer closed 127 stores within 6 months. He's asking the entire deal to be blocked, but Albertsons and Kroger say the merger would lower grocery prices and preserve competition. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Investigators in Suffolk County, New York, are asking for the public's help in identifying one of the bodies found on Gilgo Beach in 2011. Prosecutors have released a sketch of an unidentified South Asian man who's suspected of being a sex worker. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius, or two half geniuses, and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Again, Scent Bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard... His ear said, Maracas, senor. But his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent maracas smell amazing. Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. A state senator is banned from the Lac du Flambeau Chippewa Tribe's northern Wisconsin reservation over comments she made at a meeting.
At an August 23rd meeting on the ongoing dispute between the tribe and the town of Lac du Flambeau over continued road closures on tribal lands, State Senator Mary Felskowski said giving money to the tribe to end the dispute would be similar to giving in to terrorists. In the banishment notice, Tribal President John Johnson said Felskowski's comments are damaging negotiations and harmful to the tribe. Felskowski responded with her own message to the media, saying she doesn't regret making the comments, but does regret the language she used. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Different paths forward for bus rapid transit in Wisconsin's two biggest cities.
Madison's first BRT line is set to begin operating next week. The new Rapid Route A will run in dedicated lanes on an east-west route approximately every 15 minutes. Two additional routes will branch off to serve local stops. All three will be served by new 60-foot articulated all-electric buses. In Milwaukee County, where the 9-mile East-West Connect 1 BRT has been running between downtown Milwaukee and Wauwatosa since April, officials announced last week that budget constraints have pushed off a planned North-South Connect 2 route for at least a decade. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin's Legislative Study Committee on Artificial Intelligence met in Wausau last week. The committee's chair, State Senator Julian Bradley, explained some of the challenges surrounding the rapidly emerging technology.
Because it's such a part of our everyday lives already, people just may not know it. We're trying to define it and making sure that we have the proper guardrails to safeguard against any nefarious acts, and really to make sure that consumers are protected.
The bipartisan committee has held several meetings focused on different areas of AI. Additional meetings will be scheduled. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The heat wave continues today, with high temperatures smacking the upper 80s under abundant sunshine. And that sticks with us for tomorrow, too. Wednesday, we get a little cooler into the low 80s, and the mid-80s return for Thursday and Friday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 85 degrees.
He's been approaching more of a conservative approach to these sorts of things. So they take the Band-Aid off a little bit. They don't just yank it off right here at the beginning. So it wouldn't be too surprising to see just a slight, you know, let's test the waters. Let's take it a 25 basis point cut and then, you know, leave the door open for a 50 basis point cut in November and another 25 basis point or more at the end of the December meeting. So, you know, by the time we get to the end of 2024, we could see some substantial cuts. I just don't think it's going to be this month. I think the market's been telling us to look for a 25 basis point, and I think really that's what's being priced in at this point.
Now, I've wondered here, and I'll kind of segue this into the grains, Darren. Mm-hmm. I've wondered, it's looked like there's been some fund short covering mm-hmm. as of late. I think the latest CFTC report maybe indicated some of that in the grains. I've wondered if maybe some fund managers have been moving money out of the equity markets ahead of this September meeting, possibly saying grains look a little less volatile, and so they're covering some of their shorts in the grains. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's been some of that. Is it coming out of equities? I don't think it would, because, you know, theoretically, a rate cut would mean, let me piece all this together, would mean more investment going over into equities, thinking that equities are going to continue to strengthen. Okay. Would be my blink reaction to this. Is it, and we haven't seen funds building long positions in the grains sector, as you pointed out. It's mostly just short covering. And so I do think that's going to continue. And what will be interesting is if they find a fundamental reason to start getting long the grains. And as I looked across, you know, the grains sector this weekend, I didn't see any markets that stood out to me from a fundamental point of view that's just saying, look, we need to be long this market from, you know, as far as Watson or the funds go. Now, the one that's interesting is corn, because from a technical point of view, it completed a long-term bullish spike reversal, or telling us that the long-term trend had turned up at the end of August. So maybe that could start to attract some investment buying interest, thinking that the long-term fundamentals are set to change at some point. So we'll certainly have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I appreciate the perspective on this, because I think there's a lot of times some seasonality to these grain mm-hmm. markets that we talk about. And, you know, some folks have, you know, thrown out there, well, maybe the harvest lows are already in, but seasonality, I guess, would tell me that that's probably not the case here mid-September, Darren.
That's true. You know, if corn has bottomed, it would be an earlier than normal seasonal low. And so here we've got the markets moving up. And so that tells that, you know, that raises the question why, because when you see a contra seasonal move, it means something has changed fundamentally. Well, as you know, as we look at what the future spreads have done, they seem to peak, or at least they were covering the largest percent of calculated full commercial carry in late August, but not at month's end. And since then, we've seen 3 weeks of where the spreads have come down or firmed. They're showing a bit different commercial look here the last 3 weeks, telling us that maybe some of the lusters come off of the 2024 crop, either that or longer term. They're expecting demand to continue to pick up. They're still neutral. We still have a neutral long-term read. But again, if funds are looking at this and they're seeing the spreads have backed off a little bit, then maybe that's going to be the catalyst for this new round of fund buying as we look ahead.
Anything concerning you that could weigh on these markets as we get into the onslaught of harvest, logistical issues? I know it's been talked about low water levels on the Mississippi mm-hmm. River again, things like that. Anything concerning you there, how it relates to the markets right now?
I don't see anything right offhand. Now, we'll find out from John in the next segment what the extended outlook is, weather outlook, because clear weather for the next 10 days to 2 weeks, whatever, is going to mean we're going to see rapid harvest, and that's going to bring more supplies into the mix. So, and at that point, okay, then what's going to happen with demand? Can we get some of these supplies to port? Do we have any exports lined up? But I think initially it's still going to come down to weather. These are still weather derivatives. And if we have this clear window of harvest, that's going to change the short-term supply and demand. We're going to see it in basis, and we'll probably see it in those nearby future spreads as well.
Darren, any final thoughts for us real quick? Anything else you're watching in the markets this week?
Biggest thing to start this week is the strong rally in cotton. I heard you mention Hurricane Francine making landfall last week and the ripple effects of that. I think we can really see that what's going on in the cotton market. It's just skyrocketing right now. Certainly indicated to us in the futures and in the future spreads, but certainly playing out here as we start this week.
Fantastic thoughts as always, Darren Newsome, senior market analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
Darren Newsome there with Bar Chart joining us here on AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Find the right premium lubricants for your operation at Cenex.com. We'll talk weather next with ETA meteorologist John Baranek here on AOA.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream, I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world. To integrate a global ag and energy supply chain. To advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA today brought to you by Cenex. Their greases have an enhanced additive package that provides better protection, allowing your equipment to stay in the field and moving around the farm and ranch. Learn more at Cenex.com or visit your nearest Cenex location for more details on their premium lubricants. Let's take a look at what's happening with the weather as we are working through the middle part of September. The onslaught of harvest is underway in many areas. How are things shaping up here for the next week ahead? Let's talk about a DTN meteorologist. John Baranek joins us here on the show. John, hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
I did, Jesse. Thanks. It's kind of a weird stagnant pattern, but we're in a stagnant pattern here right now. We've got this ridge, upper level ridge that set up over Canada last week and really has not moved since probably Monday or Tuesday. It did allow Francine, that hurricane, to move up into the Gulf of Mexico and brought some pretty good rainfall down there across the lower Mississippi Valley. Of course, a lot of drought has been developing over there, so that's good, but it also is coming at harvest, so that's not good. It's also increased the water levels on the Mississippi River a touch, not a lot, but at least a little bit, kept it from falling a little bit more. But that rainfall really stuck around all weekend. So it's been kind of amazing. Some spots have had over 4 to 8 inches of rainfall down there, but some other folks like you, Jesse, out there in Nashville kind of missed out on it. So it didn't hit everybody, but it did bring in some heavier rain to some of those drought areas, kind of helping out a little bit. But that stagnant pattern meant a lot of us here in the Midwest and the Corn Belt have been very dry, with systems moving into the west, kind of moving into the northern plains and up through the Canadian prairies and kind of going around everybody. So Corn Belt stayed pretty dry. And while it's kind of decent for getting out and harvesting, it's not for the tail end of the crop year. And, the drought has been growing and that's not great. The stagnant pattern isn't moving though. We've got another system out in the west that will be moving into the northern plains here for tomorrow. It's already started to produce some streaks of showers in the northern plains and central plains too. I mean, we saw some overnight showers in Nebraska and Kansas that kind of need it. And then that system's going to move north again up into Canada, leaves behind a cold front, or not really cold, but a front from the Texas Panhandle up into Minnesota for later this week. And we'll see some continued showers along that into the weekend. And we'll probably see another low pressure center forming along that front for the weekend. And models don't really have a great handle on it, but it looks like it'll produce some widespread rainfall there for the central plains and northwestern corn belts into the weekend and early next week. First for some of the crop that's still a little bit behind developmentally, it's going to be good to see some of this rainfall in there. But for those folks getting out to harvest, it's probably, not really helpful for them at all.
It's kind of a double-edged sword here. And this is, we've seen this so many times during harvest season. You have some areas that maybe have gotten a little dry, could use some of this rainfall potential to help finish things out, replenish soil moisture, and then other areas that crop is ready to go. And the last thing you want to see is a soaking downpour to set you behind another, a couple of days, a week, if it's really heavy sometimes. So it's kind of that two-sided coin here, so to speak, as we get into the bulk of harvest season, isn't it, John?
Yeah, fall and spring always kind of seem to do that, right? I mean, if it's raining, I mean, it might be good for you, it might be bad for you, and it just depends on what your situation is. And it could be different from your neighbor, right? Just depending on what your how far along your crop is or what your intentions are. I mean, it might be great for you and bad for your neighbor or vice versa. And, it's just kind of the way we are this time of year. But for some areas, I mean, we've been getting real dry over the last several weeks, or maybe not so much in the plains as much as kind of the eastern Corn Belt. And they're not going to see a whole lot of rain this week either. I mean, even that system I mentioned for the weekend kind of goes north into Ontario and doesn't leave a whole lot of showers to be had across the eastern Corn Belt. One thing that is kind of interesting, I don't know if that's the right word, but there is this little tropical feature out there off the coast of South Carolina. It looks like it'll reach the coast here sometime later today, but it could bring some heavier rain there into the Carolinas, the Mid-Atlantic. But, you know, some models have it forecast to bring some showers across the Appalachians into Kentucky and Ohio, too. Some of those areas that have been really, really dry the last several months, honestly. And so we might get some rain into there. But otherwise, the eastern Corn Belt looks like it's probably going to stay dry through most of next week even.
That's an interesting feature we'll have to watch. And you mentioned the tropics. We obviously had Francine and now this tropical low off the coast of the Carolinas. I feel like, though, after we had a lot of hype surrounding hurricane season, it's gotten pretty quiet. Anything big you're watching in the tropics right now, John?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. We haven't had a ton of storm systems out there in the Atlantic, but four of them are actually hitting the U.S. I mean, we had Beryl back in July. We had Debbie on the East Coast in August. We had Francine last week, and then now this other little low that may not become a tropical storm before it reaches landfall, but it's pretty close to it. So, I mean, getting hit four times by tropical features in the course of a season is actually above normal. Usually you hit that maybe once or twice in a season. So while we haven't seen a whole lot of tropical activity across the Atlantic, they've been kind of impacting the U.S. So we'll see if that kind of continues. Outside of, you know, that one off the coast of the Carolinas here today, there's a little tropical storm way out in the Atlantic. But that one's going to move northward and not affect us here in the U.S. But, you know, if you look at kind of the models going through next week and going into early October, there's another couple of features that may pop up there in the Caribbean or Gulf of Mexico, even off the coast of the Carolinas again, that could be a little interesting. Way too early to call any of that a concern at this moment. But, you know, something to watch out for. And you know, it's with this developing La Nina and how warm those waters are down there, anything that just kind of sits there, it could even be a front. And we're going to see several of those moving through here over the next few weeks. Front just sitting over that warm water. I mean, that's what happened with Francine. That's what's happening with this little one off the Carolina coast. It's just a front that sat down there and sat over some warm water. And looky here. Here's a tropical system. So we could see some more of those close range ones and not the long track ones we see just moving across the Atlantic and impacting us. So we'll be on the lookout for that for sure.
Definitely. And we're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, before we talk South America, real quick, temperatures here in the U.S. for the next week plus, are we still hanging on to some of these warmer than normal temps? How are things looking?
Yeah, very warm. I mean, that ridge out there in the east has been very, very stubborn and increased temperatures. I mean, we're well above normal where we should be. I mean, we should be dropping pretty significantly here during the course of September, but a lot of us are stuck in the 80s and lots of 90s out there too. You know, it's not atypical to see 80s and 90s in September, but, you know, for a long period of time, it kind of is. So it'll stay warm here into next week. We'll see, though, middle, late next week, there could be an interesting front that moves through. The American GFS model is really hammering on a nice signature of a burst of cold air moving in for the last few days of September. European model says, nah, we'll keep it nice and warm. But, you know, I kind of tend to believe our American model a little bit more on this one. It's got some decent potential here to bring in some cooler air. I don't know if it'll mean widespread frost or you know, anything to that degree, but eliminating a lot of these 80s and 90s and bringing us kind of back to where we should be or a little bit cooler.
All right. As we close out this segment, John, we got about 90 seconds or so. South America, what's the latest? I know things have been very dry. I've heard about wildfires in parts of Brazil and Argentina. I mean, what's the latest here? Give us the details.
Geez, Jesse, we could probably devote an entire segment to South American weather right now. But, you know, the long and short of it is that, you know, most of the continent is very dry at the moment. There's some small sections in southern Brazil and southeastern Argentina that are doing better. And one of the driest spots, the state of Paraná in Brazil, a lot of folks were saying that this is kind of the worst drought in, you name it, the last several decades to 75 years, you know, people were calling that. And so that's been a major concern. That's kind of the southern extent of where they double crop those soybeans and corn. So they really need to get started on that soybean planting. And it's been tough to do. They did get some rain over the weekend, though. You know, a couple of inches will help, but they are way far behind in soil moisture. They're going to need that to keep continuing. They get a little bit here throughout the week, and we're going to see plenty of fronts move through Argentina and into southern Brazil this week and next week. But, you know, the rainfall with it is kind of favoring those areas that are already all right with soil moisture at the moment. Western Argentina, northern Argentina, not so much. Maybe some light rain, but not enough to really get planting going in any significant way. Southern Brazil gets some good rainfall out of it, and that could include that state of Paraná. But getting any farther north into central Brazil is going to be very difficult to do. The wet season rains do look like they're going to start on time, which is at the end of this month, but they're going to need a lot more rain.
Definitely. BTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for joining us this week. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
All right. We'll be back with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa next on AOA Powered by Cenex. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 42 to 2360, November down 37 to 2303, December down 37 to 2173, January down 34 to 2048. Live cattle markets lower, feeder cattle lower, especially in the nearby months due to the weakness in the live cattle contracts. Live cattle just couldn't find enough fundamental support to move prices higher. They're still watching the cash markets. Even though boxed beef prices were higher, live and feeder cattle markets were mostly lower. Hog markets, meanwhile, kept going back and forth throughout the day, but there's still a lot of space for technical buying in the market, and that helped with the markets moving higher as well. Also, pork cutout values were higher as last week's demand wasn't as strong as traders nor packers had hoped for. October live cattle down 42 cents to 177.22. September feeder cattle down 60 cents to 241.30. October hogs up $1.47 to $79.92. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn, soybeans mostly lower. Warm weather allowing for the harvest to expand for corn and to continue to begin with soybeans, adding harvest pressure to the markets. Some of the world issues, especially in the Black Sea region, calming down a bit. That pressured U.S. wheat. December corn down 2.5 to 4.10¾. November beans down 1¾.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.
America's Farmers and Ranchers. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA today, powered by our friends at Cenex. Don't let unpredictable markets get in your way. Cenex premium diesel fuel helps improve efficiency for your operation. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, joining us now on AOA, always great to have a conversation with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Senator, good to hear from you again, sir. Hope you're doing well.
And I'm glad to hear from farmers in Iowa when I have my 99 county meetings that they enjoy hearing me on your program. So I know that it's worth my time spending time with you communicating to the Iowa farmers.
Well, and that is great to hear as well. And always happy to have you on the show, sir. And I'm sure during those 99 county meetings, you might have heard a lot about this overall farm economy, things looking a little bleak across rural America right now. A lot of talk about a farm bill and trying to get a new one done. Could that help out with some of these outdated price supports and more? What's the latest, in your opinion, surrounding this overall farm economy and trying to get a new five-year farm bill done, Senator?
We have 2 weeks in September, October for campaigning, 2 weeks in November, and maybe 3 weeks at most in December. And with the Armed Services Bill, Defense Authorization Bill to come up, and the appropriations we have to do, I don't see any time for a five-year farm bill, and that's a sad commentary. But also, it gives me a chance to tell the taxpayers of Iowa and the people in rural America, particularly the family farmers that work so hard and pay taxes, that you can't run the United States Senate when you only have 100 senators in town at the same time for 2.5 days a week. When I came to the United States Senate, we started at 10 a.m. on Monday, worked till 4 p.m. on Friday, and it just gradually deteriorated to the worst place it's been in the 4 years that Schumer's run the United States Senate, that we're not meeting more than 2.5 days a week, so you can't legislate. Doesn't bring up anything that takes a few days to legislate, amend, and debate. And then we're basically a confirming nominations for the executive branch of government. Do very little legislation, and if there is some legislation done, it's relatively non-controversial. Now, I hate to tell the farmers of Iowa that, but that's one reason we don't have a five-year farm bill.
It's an interesting comment, and I've had folks on this show in recent months talk about your point there as well, how it's hard to legislate when there's only, you know, X amount of working days there on Capitol Hill, and sometimes some folks and your counterparts are just happy to, you know, keep the doors of government open, for instance, with government spending. I know that's an issue in front of us right now as well, and a CR there. But thinking about this, could some of this dynamic potentially change after the upcoming November election, Senator Grassley?
Well, it could change in the fact that there might be a more willingness to do it, but you don't get a five-year farm bill out of the United States Senate Agriculture Committee and pass it in the United States Senate in a couple days, unless it's very non-controversial, and I can't see it being non-controversial. And then you got to get it through the House, get it to conference to work out the House and Senate. I just think it's impossible to get it done this year. Now, does that mean that I wouldn't relish the opportunity of getting a five-year farm bill this year instead of a one-year extension? I certainly would want that, and I would certainly work towards that.
The notion was floated on this show late last week as well. You mentioned a one-year extension, which we presume we'll have here, and hopefully that will help us to work to a new five-year farm bill. But some sources have said, and Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report talked about this last week here on our program, that it's been talked about of a 2-year extension of the 2018 Farm Bill. Have you heard anything about that, and your thoughts if something like that were to happen, Senator?
My thoughts about it would be that it would put off for 2 years instead of 1 year. The fact that we don't have support prices for agriculture, which now are almost below the point where farmers will get some payment on these support prices that they haven't gotten for the last 3 or 4 years, and the farmers don't want it because they want higher prices, but it doesn't reflect the inflation that we've had in machinery parts and diesel and interest and food, seed, fertilizer, and chemicals. And that's what's holding up the 5-year Farm Bill, is we got to have some reflection of the increased cost of inflation. The farmers didn't create this inflation. The federal government increased this inflation when we started appropriating trillions of dollars in this administration to fight the pandemic, and only 9% of it was appropriated for the pandemic.
Let's switch gears, Senator. Another issue is foreign purchases of U.S. farmland. I know that the Protecting American Agriculture from Foreign Adversaries Act of 2024 is in the Senate. Counterpart legislation passed in the House last week. What's the latest on getting this legislation through on the Senate side here?
Let me explain that to the farmers. That to get the Secretary of Agriculture, a permanent member of what of the acronym that we call CFIUS, which calls for, which is called the Commission for Foreign Investment in the United States. And we should have him on that because food security is a big part of national security, and it's very important that we get it done. The House passed the bill, and it's a bipartisan bill in the Senate, and it ought to get the same quick service that we got in the House of Representatives. It's a very important bill. It's not the only thing dealing with foreign purchase of land. We've got last year something that got through the Senate, didn't get through the House, prohibiting Russia, China, Iran, and I think North Korea, four countries, not to buy farmland. And then you have that may come up again when we have the defense authorization bill up as one example of something that more can be done. And then you've got legislation that I co-sponsored to make sure that the Secretary of Agriculture keeps his database up more accurately and timely, so people can go to that website and find out how much land is owned by foreigners. And that goes back to an original piece of legislation that I co-sponsored with then Senator Wallop, now deceased, of Wyoming, when we passed that legislation in 1978 or 1979, just to have a record of foreign purchase.
Another issue that I want to ask you about as well that kind of ties in with some of our foreign entities is the situation around used cooking oil and the imports of Chinese used cooking oil into the U.S. And I know that this has been widely talked about, and the issues being looked at, from my understanding, currently. Any updates in terms of used cooking oil being brought into the U.S. and seemingly flooding our markets?
Yeah. We got the sad news from letters that we had previously written, several of us have written on this subject, to make sure that virgin palm oil didn't get into the United States as part of used cooking oil. And we got the word back that the law doesn't distinguish between virgin palm oil mixed with used cooking oil coming from China. And that means that they can cheat on it and get the palm oil that's never been used in cooking. So it's got a big carbon footprint, because if you burn down
the rainforest and plant palm trees. It's got a bigger footprint than what we have burning fossil fuels in the United States. So it's very important that we get this law straightened out so virgin palm oil can't get snuck into this country as part of cooking oil. And we have every reason to believe that that's happening. For instance, we went from a couple years ago, 200 million pounds of used cooking oil coming into this country, and now 3 billion pounds of cooking oil coming to this country. So all of that is in competition with our soybean industry, and we should not be subsidizing imports against our own soybean industry.
And definitely it's makes sense to me, and hopefully we can get that issue figured out here in short order. With that, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, we are up against the clock, sir. Thanks for joining us again here on Agriculture of America. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.
Goodbye.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley joining us here on AOA today. Always good to talk with Senator Grassley. Today's program brought to you by our friends at Cenex, Cenex Greases. They will keep your equipment running smoothly. They will help you achieve superior strength and performance. That's why selecting the right grease is critical. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Coming up next, it is National Farm Safety and Health Week. We're going to talk about that and get some details and tips from AgriSafe's Laura Siegel. She joins us next on AOA, Agriculture of America.
This Entertainment Insider is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. After more than 40 years, the iconic television show Wheel of Fortune has a new host. How is Ryan Seacrest handling the new role and surroundings?
I want this one to go so well. I want all of them to go well, but this one's new, and I want this one to be something that people go, okay, you know what? I get it. That makes sense.
Get renter's insurance to protect the things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. Visit Progressive.com.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's got to be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at Salsa Night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Joining us now, Brandon Walter, corn portfolio marketing leader for Pioneer. Brandon, what's new at Pioneer and why should farmers be excited?
Yeah, so at Pioneer, we're really excited about the release of two of our newest technologies, Pioneer Vorseed Enlist Corn, as well as PowerCore Enlist Corn. And so both of these new products or new technologies are going to give our farmers more yield, more protection, and more flexibility. So excited to bring those to a field here, both in 2024, but as well as for 2025.
Well, Brandon, let's dive into those new products a bit more. Give me the basics when it comes to yield, protection, and flexibility.
Yeah, so with Pioneer brand four seed Enlist corn, this is going to be a great fit for our customers that have those strong corn on corn acres. And so what we're really excited about with this new technology is that it's going to build on the success that farmers have come to know from our Qrome products that they've used previously. And so how it's going to do that is it's going to bring strong yield. So in 2023, we saw a 71% win rate with a 12.1 bushel advantage over SmartStax and SmartStax Pro competitors. From a protection side, it's going to offer our customers three modes above ground as well as three modes below ground for protection, including the newest technology in corn rootworm with RNAi technology. And then as we think about Power Corn List, this is going to be a great fit for our customers from an above ground perspective. So again, a great fit for those rotated acres. And again, is going to give customers that strong yield with a 68% win rate with a 9.3 bushel advantage over the competitors. And then that three modes above ground for protection. As we think about both Vorseed and Power Corn List corn, both of these technologies are going to give our customers lots of flexibility when we talk about controlling weeds in cornfields. So both of these trait packages are going to offer our customers four herbicide tolerance modes of action, including glyphosate, glufosinate, 2,4-D choline, as well as FOP tolerance. So Jesse, the key thing that we're focused on is continuing to bring our customers options and flexibility. And we're really excited about what these new technologies will bring.
All right. With that, Brandon Walter from Pioneer. Talk to your local Pioneer sales rep or visit pioneer.com for more information.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, this week is National Farm Safety and Health Week. There are a lot of activities going on here surrounding farm safety and mental health awareness on the farm and ranch. And we're going to talk about it right now here on AOA. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. With planting season in full swing, you can count on Cenex high-quality lubricants to help keep your operation moving. Learn more online at cenex.com. Joining us now as we talk Farm Safety and Health Week, Laura Siegel with AgriSafe is with us here today on AOA. Laura, thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, Farm Safety and Health Week going on here all week long. And again, as I mentioned, a lot of activities happening. And I know from AgriSafe, you guys have partnered up here and are doing a lot of great webinars surrounding this week here with the National Education Center for Ag Safety. Talk about these webinars a little bit for us and the importance behind all of these various webinars.
Yeah. So this year's theme for National Farm Safety and Health Week is Don't Learn Safety by Accident. Just a little bit of history on it. It's been 80 years since this week was actually established back in the day by President Roosevelt because of all the dangerous accidents and injuries happening in agriculture. And while safety has gotten a lot better, there's also a lot of new technology and machinery that, well, some of it has reduced that danger, some of it has also increased it. So it's really important to focus on different aspects, especially with a lot of injuries being due to motor vehicles or equipment. So for this week, we're going to have, like you said, 11 webinars. I'll just go ahead and run through them.
Yeah, please
Monday.
Do.
Yeah, Monday, the theme is equipment and rural roadway safety. And so our first webinar will be at 11 Central, skid loader safety, and then at 1 Central, sharing the road, ag equipment and the driving public. Tuesday is health and wellness. The first one at 11 is noise, bad for my ears and heart too. The one at 1 central is conversations on access to lethal means. Wednesday, the theme is generations of farming, and we'll have 3 webinars this day. So the first one at 11 is the 3-step process to farm succession planning. The next one at 1 is training future generations of farmers through registered apprenticeships. And then the third one at 3 central is train the trainer, no safe way to vape. That's an ag teacher kind of course for talking to youth about vaping and safety, since it's kind of a big concern. Thursday is confined spaces, and at 11 we'll have causes of oxygen deficiency, confined space and toxic fumes. And then at 1 that day, we'll have grain-related entrapments, and are we focusing on the right problem? That one's really important because it's going to focus more on the prevention of people going into grain bins rather than focusing on rescuing people from them, really digging into not going in there, so preventative measures. And then on Friday, the last day, we'll be reporting ag injuries. So the first webinar at 11 is It Pays to Talk Safety in Ag, and then at 1, using a novel app prototype to assess heat stress risk among outdoor workers, which is really important. If anyone wants to attend these webinars, they're all free to attend. If you're not able to make them live while they're airing, they'll also be put on our Learning Lab on our website. And if anyone wants to register or wants more details, they can just go to agrisafe.org and they should be able to find the link on our main page.
Fantastic. And again, agrisafe.org for more. And I know you mentioned the theme for the week here this year, don't learn safety by accident. And I love that, because thinking about it, not just during this week where we highlight farm safety and health, but year round on the farm and ranch, making sure we have different safe practices. It's so, so key. And thinking about all these different webinars and the different topics for each day here during this week that we're highlighting, there's so many different dangers out there that it is important to be educated and to really practice safe behaviors on the farm and ranch, isn't it, Laura?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Now when harvest season is about to get into gear, maybe for some people it's already in full swing, it's really important to make sure that we have safety plans in place. We're making those checks, we're reading labels, and we're just kind of taking care of ourselves too, because a lot of times we can be really busy and be like, oh, it's fine if I get to sleep late, but actually one of the biggest things that can be an issue is not getting enough sleep. I'm sure you've heard this before, but being sleep deprived is just as dangerous when you're operating a vehicle as if you're driving drunk. So that's just something else to keep in mind, is take care of yourself. And it'll help you take care of everything else in your operation and your family, et cetera.
Yeah, a lot of great points there to think about. And again, National Farm Safety and Health Week happening this week. The folks at AgriSafe are doing a lot of great work here, a lot of education. AgriSafe.org for more. And Laura, before we let you go here real quick, final thoughts, anything you would want to reiterate to folks listening in across rural America as we look at National Farm Safety and Health Week, and again, remember to be safe on the farm and ranch. Anything else you would add or reiterate to folks today?
One thing I would say, and this goes out to the general public, not just people working on farms and ranches, is it can be frustrating when you're on the road and you're behind a slow tractor or another type of agricultural vehicle. And just remember that we're not in a rush to go anywhere. Take it safe, stay slow, stay patient. And that can really help into improving those rural roadway safety and preventing incidents. So just keep that in mind, be courteous, be kind, and it can go a long way to preventing accidents.
Great reminder, good things to think about. And again, more information, agrisafe.org. With that, Laura Siegel from AgriSafe, thanks for joining us here on the program today as we celebrate National Farm Safety and Health Week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And with that, we are up against the clock here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk diesel fuel storage. It can boost your productivity and maximize ROI. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Coming up on tomorrow's program, could we see some price limit changes for cattle at the CME? We'll talk with DTN livestock analyst Shaley Stewart about that. We'll also go through the markets with Christy Vannon. She sits with Vannon and Company, a conversation with Columbia Grain President and CEO Jeff Van Pevenage, and more on Farm Safety and Health Week with Jana Davidson from the Progressive Agriculture Foundation. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great one. We'll talk to you tomorrow. If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in proven solutions. Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Another teenager fell victim to fake pills. Smells like big crime that needs to be stopped. Where are these pills coming?
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than